and so gracious to us. If you've got your Bible, I hope you've opened it to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 21. Ladies, thank you so much for that. What a blessing. Joshua chapter 21, we are continuing our theme of leaving nothing undone. Leaving nothing undone. This, of course, was all built off of Joshua chapter 11, verse number 15. It says of Joshua that he left nothing undone concerning all that the Lord had commanded Moses. In other words, he got everything done that God had told Moses to do. Now, we remember that the book of Joshua, don't forget this, the book of Joshua, it is just the Old Testament book that teaches New Testament victory. So if you have found your place in the 21st chapter, that is Joshua 21, you rise to your feet if you would as we honor the public reading of God's Word. And look with me in verse 43, and we'll read three or so verses here and then we'll pull it all together in just a moment. Joshua 21, in verse 43, the Bible says, "And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers. They possessed it, dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest." Now, underscore that word rest that you see in your Bible, if you write in your Bible. He gave them rest round about, according to all that he sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hands. There failed not aught of any good thing. I like that. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. God poured his goodness out upon his people. As I was studying and reading through this chapter, I wanted so badly to title this message something different than what I actually ended up doing it because of the familiarity to many of us with the words of it. But I ended up, the more I thought of it, I kept coming back to this and I couldn't get away from it. So I want to speak to you on this simple thought this Sunday morning. Look what God has done. Just look what God has done. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. A lady's husband had heart surgery, and while he was in the hospital still, she received a letter in the mail informing her husband that he had just inherited $1 million. Now, she was very concerned about her husband's health, not knowing if his heart could stand learning that information, so she called their pastor and asked their pastor if he would go and deliver this news to her husband who was still in the hospital. The pastor agreed, and he walked into the hospital room, and he said, "Joe, if you were to have $1 million, what would you do with it?" To which Joe responded, he said, "It's easy, preacher. I would give it all to you." The pastor immediately dropped dead of a heart attack right there on sight. Now, when we read that little story, and we can certainly laugh at it, I think there are a couple things that we can learn from both of these men, the man in the hospital and the pastor in the story. I think we can learn from the man in the hospital that he did not realize how rich he really was. And we can learn from the pastor that he didn't know how to respond to the blessings that were being poured out upon him in his life, or what would appear to be at that point. Now, I want you to think about that, because sometimes we as the people of God, we do not realize how good God has really been to us. And beyond that, we certainly don't know how to respond appropriately for the things that we do realize God's goodness in. When it comes to this matter of all of us just looking around and seeing what God has done and expressing it not only to the Lord, but expressing it as well to other people, wouldn't you agree with me that we all have a long way to go? Right here in Joshua chapter 21, God has done nothing other than pour out his blessings and his goodness upon his people. You know the story, and you know where we are at. However, God's people did not know exactly how to respond to it. They didn't know how to handle it and how to appreciate it, and they didn't know how to express God's goodness in the way that they should have. See, God had not only brought them into the land of promise that he had done, but then he had also allowed them to conquer the land. And then they were having the land divided, and they were possessing the land that the Lord had given to them. And you would think that at this point in time, you would think that they could have just settled all down and just enjoyed the blessings of God and enjoyed God's goodness in the land. But in reality, there were still a few more things having to do with the national framework of Israel that had to be set up. Now, here's what I want us to do. This morning, listen, I know we come from all different walks of life. And I understand that there are people here that have been dealing with all kinds of the attacks of Satan and hell on their life this week. Here's what I'm asking every person to do. I'm going to try to ask you if you would lay aside all your problems for just a few minutes this morning. Lay aside all of the areas that you've been totally stressed out about. You're overwhelmed with all of the issues of uncertainty that is ahead of you. I want you to try to set all that stuff aside for just a minute. I want you to try to open your eyes, have tunnel vision, and think about all that the Lord has done for you. Look what God has done. I think that's what we're seeing right here in Joshua chapter 21. The first thing I want you to see as I lay this out to you is simply the thought of the reach of spirituality. Listen, spirituality is important in our life. This isn't just something that we take and leave, okay? If God got a hold of your life, it's there all the time. The reach of spirituality, it should be within you. Now, as I just mentioned a moment ago, God had done some remarkable, some great things among the people of God, getting them established in their land, giving them victory after victory after victory. But when we come to the 21st chapter, we are finding that there were still some things that had to be taken care of. And in this instance, it was dealing with the spiritual care of the people of God. God needed to take care of some spiritual matters with the people. And when we think about the reach of spirituality, we see it, first of all, in how that it was a reach of placement. A reach of placement. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I want you to flip back maybe a page or so in some of your Bibles. Go back to verse number 1 of the 21st chapter. And I'm going to talk to you about verse 1, 2, and 3. And then I'm going to take about the next 10 minutes. We'll see. But the next 10 minutes and preach the next 42 verses. Just so we all understand where we're at. But back in verse number 1, look at what the Bible says. Then came near the host of the fathers of the Levites unto Eleazar the priest and unto Joshua the son of Nun and unto the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. Verse 2, and they spake unto them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, saying, all right, they've come to here. They've come to the leaders of the camp. They've come to the leaders of the nation. They've come to the leaders of the tabernacle, the things of God. And this is what they're saying. This is the Levites that have come to them. And they are saying, the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses to give us cities to dwell in with their suburbs thereof for our cattle. And the children of Israel, all the leaders, gave unto the Levites, here it is, and underscore this, out of their inheritance. In other words, they are giving to them something that already belonged to them. Are you following it? Out of their inheritance, according to the command of the Lord, the Bible says, these cities and their suburbs. Now, there's a lot there. And to understand what's really unfolding here, you need to know that the Levites that the Bible is referring to here, they were the priestly tribe of the nation Israel. Now, we can call them the men of God. We can call them in our days, these were the preachers. These were the men of God. These were those that cared for the spiritual needs of the people of God. These were the ones that kept them in spiritual order in every way and ministered to them. Now, the tribe of Levi, they were not given a big portion of land as the other tribes were. And when you first think about that, you think, well, my goodness, that's a little bit unfair. Why would God not give the tribe of Levi a large portion of land as he had for all of the others? Well, listen, while it may seem to be unfair in our minds at first, we all need to remember that God always knows what he's doing. Amen? He always knows what he's doing. He always knows how to execute it. And he always knows how to do it well. And so while that they did not give him particular tribes, particular plots of land and portions of land, he did give them cities within the land of the other tribes. And he spaced it out all across the nation. So in place of that, there were 48 cities. And the Bible tells us also their suburbs that God had given them. And some of those included those cities of refuge that we talked about last last week, and they were spread all out throughout the entire land of Israel. You see, the plan of God in all of this was to make sure that there was a spiritual presence of the Levites, not just in one particular portion of land, as all of the other tribes, but he spread it out all across the rest of the nation so that there could be the people of God that could care for the needs spiritually of his people all throughout the entire nation. Care for the needs, minister to the needs, and also to keep God's people spiritually in line. Now you see, at this point and in this place here, they did not have a tabernacle in all of these places. That, along with the Ark of the Covenant, it was still in Shiloh. But God set it up and executed this in such a way that no matter where you were in the nation Israel, no matter where you were only a few hours' journey, a few hours' reach away from spiritual things, a place where you could have a spiritual encounter, a place where you could have spiritual leadership, a man of God in your life. You were just a few hours away. Now, I want you to hold on to that reach of placement, because let's pull it all together with a reach of priority. We are learning in God's Word that spiritual things were a priority of God for his people. Thus, he is teaching us that spiritual things should be a priority to each one of us as well. Now, after entering the land of Canaan, after conquering the land of Canaan, and then dividing all of the land up, do you know what Israel did not do first? They did not first constitute a government. They did not first set up a public education system, establish foreign policy, national security. They did not set up certain benefit plans for the people. They didn't do any of those things first. The very first thing that under the command of God, his people were to do was to establish spiritual matters in the nation. Because they understood nothing else was going to work in the land until they got their spiritual minds a priority. Until they got their spiritual matters in order. Now, I love what I told you just a second ago. If you looked back in verse number 3, out of their inheritance, each tribe willingly gave up a portion of their land to give to the Levites, a city, and also their suburbs, the Bible tells us, willingly did it. And this is letting us know that the people of God understood that there was a priority in spiritual things, and so they were willing to give up something of themselves. Boy, wouldn't it be a good thing if every one of us began to realize in our lives that we will never really see the goodness of God in our lives until we comprehend and we grasp the fact that it's not about us. And we've got to be willing to give up something of ourselves to allow God to be able to work in our lives. In our day-to-day, it may mean we need to give up some of our recreation. We may need to give up some of the things that we hold dear, some of this or some of that. Whatever it might be, there are things that we need to give up for the purpose of drawing closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they were willing to give up all of this. Now I say this just simply to reinforce to our hearts that the people, it wasn't just the spiritual leaders, but it was the people that understood that if they were going to experience God's goodness in its fullest, they had to be willing to give up some things. They had to put spiritual things in place. They had to make it a priority in every way. Let me tell you something. Every one of us ought to bow our unworthy heads and bless the good name of God that you've got a church place right here in Lafayette, Georgia that you can reach, that you're able to get to, a place where the Word of God is proclaimed by somebody, a place where you can have fellowship with the people of God, a place where we can even break bread, and we do that a lot together, a place where we can just have a good time, a place where a body of believers can come together, we can lock arms for the purpose of getting the gospel of Jesus Christ to the rest of this world. You ought to bless God that you have one of those places. Yesterday, you men that were at the Bible study, God bless you that were being faithful to the Bible study yesterday for the men. But we learned on that day, we learned the importance of serving God in the local church. We learned why it was important, and it was laid out to us so clearly that this will determine our understanding of God's goodness in the church, in our lives. You see, God gave us the family. We learned that yesterday. God ordered the family. God ordered government, and God ordered the church. All of those things have strayed out of the place they need to be in. How we learned and how our hearts were convicted by that yesterday. They've strayed out of the place they need to be in. But God, help us at Lindenwood Baptist Church to be a group of people that stay in order for what God has. Have a priority and have spiritual things in our place. You see, so many of us, we get so hung up in this problem or that problem of life that we just forget the goodness of God in our lives. We allow our heads, our hearts, our minds, our spirits, certainly our eyes, to be blinded to God's goodness. One of the ways that you see God's goodness is looking around at the people God has placed in your life, at the people in the church that God has put in your world to be able to help you. And understand, we're not perfect. You can look at me and every one of you got all kinds of things that you could write a list and say, this guy's not perfect. He got all kinds of problems. I'll even sign the bottom of the list for you. I've got all kinds of issues and all kinds of problems. But I tell you what I've learned about this assembly here is we care about people. It doesn't matter how messed up or how marked up your past may be. We care about you. We want you to have your best life with Christ. We want you to enjoy Him in all of eternity and to be saved for the glory of God. You get your heart locked into people and you'll start to see God's goodness in your life. You'll begin to understand how that He has spared you from a bunch of stuff that you see other people. We met a guy yesterday. That just wanders around. He came into our world and we tried to be a blessing to him to the very best of our ability. We tried to do what we could to help him. But folks, you look around and you see that you got people that hold you up in your life. People that will encourage you day by day. Think about how good God has been to you. And you see that in spiritual things. You see that in the church. If we cannot look around and see God's goodness, listen to me, and I want to be kind, but you have a spiritual problem. If you can't see God's goodness in your life, there is the placement and the priority of the things of God that is out of order. The reach of spirituality, that'll show you God's goodness. The rest of satisfaction, or a satisfying rest that God will give you. You see, the first 42 verses of this chapter, they are telling us really about the 48 cities and all of their suburbs that God had set aside for the spiritual things, the Levites, to set up the ministry of God all throughout the entire nation. But when you come to verse number 43, we are seeing right here a little bit of a shift in the writing from the reach of God spiritually to the rest of God that is in our lives, and it will be satisfying to us. And we're seeing this change. Now, don't miss the principle here. You see, once we get spiritual things in order in our lives, you will be amazed at how God will give you rest that you searched for and you looked for, you hungered for, and you longed for once you get spiritual things in order. You will find that there will be a rest from weariness that will come in. A rest from weariness. Now, I don't know about you, but I like rest. I like rest any time. But especially when I'm tired, I like to rest. But I'm like many of you, I have a hard time getting good, consistent rest. Anybody here struggle sleeping, or is it just me? Am I the only one? Oh, hands up everywhere. Many of us struggle sleeping sometimes. You know, one of the reasons that I despise traveling, I just don't like it. It is because when I'm away from home, I really don't sleep well. There's probably a lot of reasons for that. One reason is I hate staying in hotels. I just don't like staying in hotels. The beds are never really comfortable. They may be clean, but there's just a part of me that just feels like they're just not clean. I'm just, you know, crawling all over. It's noisy all through the night in the hallways, isn't it? The water pressure in the shower is just not good, except in Jamaica. I like water pressure in a shower. The lighting in the bathroom is just less than, it's more dim than what it is in my house. And I never can seem to get my hair to do just right when I'm in hotels and places. And so I struggle because I so badly just want to get home so I can try to get some rest again. You know what that sounds like? Why? Amen. But you know, don't we all whine just a little bit about having to constantly need rest? Somebody give Leroy a sleeping pill so he can get some rest. We do, don't we? We whine about this and we whine about that, about how that we just need rest. But in reality, listen to me, things are not nearly as bad in our lives as we act as if they are. We act as if we need rest, but they're just not as bad. I want you to think right now about the people of God, Israel. For now, going on 60 years, 40 years in the wilderness, but now going on 60 years, they had walked mile after mile after mile. They had traveled all of these miles. They had fought all of these battles. They had experienced failure. They were totally stressed out. Every day of their life was a day of total uncertainty. There is nobody that needed rest any more than the people of God. You talk about somebody that needed a vacation. Israel, all of them, they needed a vacation. Look in verse number 43. The Bible says, "And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it, dwelt there." And now look at verse 44. "And the Lord gave them rest." He gave them rest. It says it's roundabout. In other words, it was a universal rest that God gave to all of the tribes and all of the people. It just wasn't this one's turn to rest or that one's turn to rest. No, God gave it to them all. That word rest, note this in your notes, in your Bible, or wherever you do, if you would. That word rest, it is speaking simply of a settlement. It means to be settled, to settle down, or to dwell therein. Are you getting that? After everything that they had been through, you know what God is really telling them right here? He's saying the chaos is over for your generation. The chaos is over. Life is now beginning to develop the way that I intended to develop for you. Your new normal is now beginning to take shape. You are going to be a people now who can start building your new life in your new land that you've longed for your whole life long. Now don't miss the words that we are seeing in the verse here. The scripture declares that the Lord gave this rest. Do you have your Bible open? Look at it now. Verse number 44. The Lord gave the rest. You need to underscore that as well. There is a Bible principle there that every one of us needs to understand and comprehend. The Lord gave them this rest. You see, as we've studied in previous times in this very place, in many cases, Israel was the one, remember before they went to Ai, Israel was the one who determined when their season of rest was going to be. Israel, the people, or so they thought. Also, Israel, the people, are the ones who determined how long their season of rest was going to last. Do you remember that? But listen, their season of rest, it never satisfied their need and their hunger for rest. Why? Because it was a forced rest that was in violation, are you listening, to God's timing and God's details. Everybody in the church is looking at me and listening to me right now. I want you to get this, because if God is not in the details of our rest, there will be no rest. If God is not in the details of our rest, you mark it down, there will be no rest. And that's what they had experienced their whole existence. But in this generation, at least since they crossed over Jordan, they never experienced a rest that satisfied their soul. A rest that even satisfied their bodily needs. They never experienced it, but this rest was different because God gave the rest. He allowed them to have rest from all their problems, rest from all their stress, rest from all their uncertainty. How many of us have tried to go out and get rest before? How many of us go spend a bunch of money on vacation? I've done it to try and get rest, but those problems just follow you right along. The uncertainty, it is still there. there's something still within you that the stress, you know you're going to have to come back and start dealing with all of that stuff again. That's just the way it is, right? But it's a spiritual matter that we're dealing with here, remember? It's a life of victory. Old Testament book that teaches New Testament victory. And until we understand that God is the one who orders the rest, we will never get rest. We can go out and we can try to form all these things of rest that we want to do. I mean, we can have the hammock. We can lay out on the beach. We can have us a cold Coca-Cola, maybe even a hot dog for some of y'all, a cheeseburger for me. We can lay out and have a good time and do all that we can to generate rest. We can take this out of our schedule to make our lives a little bit better. We can move to a smaller house to be able to fix our finances, or a larger house to give us more room. You name whatever it is. We are trying to force rest when in reality, we are out of spiritual order. And until we get in spiritual order, there will be no rest. I'm speaking to people here, there's no doubt, in this building and live on this Sunday morning, that you are just tired of the fight. You never can get footing. You never can get tracking anymore. I'm telling you, the reason for so much of that is because there is no spiritual rest that you are experiencing. You're trying to force rest, and it is not in line with God's timing, and it is not in line with God's truth. And so God is not going to let you enjoy rest when you are out of line spiritually. When you are not in line with the things of God. We are seeing this was a rest from weariness. It was a rest from war as well. You look in your Bible in the 44th verse. It declares to our hearts there. And there stood, look at this, not a man of all there is. Do you know how many enemies they had faced over the previous 20 years or 18, 20 years just since they'd been in the land? You know how many enemies? We're talking tens of thousands. And here we see there was not one that was standing, not one, for God had delivered every one of their enemies into their hands. The bad guys that had caused them all these problems, all this stress, all their failure, all this uncertainty, they're gone. That's why rest came, because God, the Bible says, delivered them from all of their enemies. Many of the battles that you and I are facing today are enemies that we have created. And you will never get rest until you let God, in submission to His Word, deliver you from all of those enemies. Have you heard the statement before? The demons of my past won't let me go. Be careful about that. I have this demon. I have that demon. And it's almost to the point that we have the idea that those things are coincidental, that they are in our lives. No, how many times have we allowed what we may call a demon to come into our world? You don't play with that word, by the way. You don't play with that word. You'll get in over your head. That is a word that is a supernatural word, and you've got to be careful, and you better plead Christ in the middle of all of this. But so much of the time, our weariness from the war is because of the war that we have created. Because we've gotten things spiritually out of order. My mind is blown sometimes about how other people sometimes think that our lives, the ministry, and all these things have to adapt around our bad decisions. Haven't we all been there? Haven't we? You see, friends, we've got to have things spiritually in order. There's got to be a priority, and there's got to be a place for all of these things. So much of what Israel was experiencing in their weariness was because they were so war-torn. They were in a constant state of war, constantly looking over their shoulder, in a constant state of trying to figure out how to move on to the next step. They were always on high alert and experienced several levels of grief by grief by grief by grief. It mounted and it kept on going. Again, there are some of us here today, we are just so tired of the fight. Tired of looking over your shoulder. You are tired of trying to pull all the pieces together. You are tired of being on high alert. You are tired of being in a constant state of grief because of the things that you say that you've lost in your life. And they're gone. And you're grieving over them. You see, the child of God needs to understand that though we may be fighting all of these battles, the place you see the goodness of God in is the fact He has already won the war at Calvary. He has already taken care of all of these things at Calvary. And part of seeing and embracing and looking at the goodness of God is coming to the place in your life that no matter how much your world is falling apart, you can just rest in Jesus. It won't always be this way. There is that better day coming. You can rest in the Lord. No one understands this until you've been in that spot, to where you've realized that everything in the world isn't going to work. It will never bring rest. It will never bring satisfaction. And sometimes God will have to put us in a spot in our life where we have to rest in Jesus. Where we are flat on our back. We can't even, it seems, go any further. But all we can do is look up and see Him. It's in those moments how amazing it is that we will pick ourselves up off the deck that we have been cast down upon. And though the darts of hell are still flying at us in every direction, though the attacks are coming at us from every side, we are still somehow able to look and see how good God's been to us in the middle of a world, our world, that is falling apart. Just because we are weary from the war, it does not mean we cannot find the satisfaction of God and see His goodness and experience true spiritual rest. Israel had given it all they had. I mean, they had fought through it so hard. And they were tired of walking all the miles. They were tired of fighting all the battles. They were tired of the overwhelming stress. They were tired of the uncertain days, but it was in those moments that when they were feeling low, it was in those moments that God in His goodness came to them and He said, just stop. Just look what I have done for you. My word is still true. My grace is still sufficient. And my goodness is still real. Rejoice in me and you will see God's goodness. How many of us really want rest today? You'll never have rest until we get spiritual things in order. Now, I believe that's rest spiritually, but I believe it's further. It takes us to rest physically as well. You read the Word of God and you will learn that a life that is not right with God, God will not let you rest even physically. He won't let you rest mentally, and He certainly won't let you rest spiritually. Many of us struggle in our minds because we're not having the rest of God. Spiritual things are not in order. Many of us, not all, but many of us struggle in our bodies because spiritual things are not in order. I could give you example after example, Bible example. Psalm 51 is a good example of that with David. Many of us struggle with things because we're not spiritually in order. Some of us need to open our eyes today and understand by the Word of God that God has been good to us, that goodness is all around us, but we need to run to Him and rest in Him to be able to see it. So we see there's the reach of spirituality. There is the rest of satisfaction. Then the realization of success. You'll realize how good the Lord's really been to you. And that's where Israel was here. They were realizing, my goodness, yes, we've walked a lot of miles. Yes, we've fought a lot of battles. Yes, it's been stressful. Yes, the uncertainty has been overwhelming. But goodness gracious, just look around at the land that flows with milk and honey. And just look around at what God's given us. Look around at the victories that the Lord has had for us. And we can see God's goodness in all of that. Now listen, when I talk about success, I am not talking about a success that this world orders. I'm not talking about a success this world manufactures or even measures. I am simply talking about a success that comes only from reaching for spiritual things in our lives. It comes only from finding the satisfying rest of God. That's when you will understand what success is. Wall Street does not mark success. Washington does not mark success. Hollywood does not mark success. Anybody in this area of the country and in our town and in our families, nobody marks success. The success that will bring you rest is the success that is found from reaching for the things of God. If you abandoned everything else in your word, but you still had this Bible, you'd be okay. And you are running after God in it. Look at verse number 45. We see this truth given to us. The Bible says that there failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. I love this. All came to pass. All came to pass. After all the miles that Israel had walked, after all the battles they had fought, after all the stress they had been under, the uncertainty of every day of their lives, encapsulated in those little words. Look at them. Failed not. Do you see them there? Failed not. We're seeing many, but I'm just going to give you four things that we can extract out of those words that God's people realized they had success in their life. They could vividly see it, and we're now learning that they didn't even mind expressing it to everybody else and to the Lord of how grateful that they were to God for His goodness. They had a realization of promises that failed not. All the promises of God had come true. Amen. They were realizing that. Every promise that God had given to His people, every promise from the foundation of time to their Joshua 21 day, they all came to pass. Amen. Every one of them had come to pass. God's promises were true. Jeff Steele said it so well in the lyric that he wrote, "Not one word of God has changed. Every promise, it still remains. Who He was, He is today. Not one word of God has changed." Dear friend in church this morning, if you think that the promises that God made to His people, national Israel, in Joshua 21 were more binding and more real than the promises that God has made to you in His Bible that is in your lap right now, you are sadly and shamefully mistaking your way out of a life of victory that leaves nothing undone. Because every promise that God made to you, He will deliver. God is a man of His word. God has been good to us, and we look around and we see it in the promises that He has poured out to us on our lives. He lets them know that there was a realization of promises. They failed not. There was a realization, don't miss it, of protection that failed not. God had protected His people. According to Genesis chapter 12, even Numbers chapter 24, and several others that we could even look at, God always, the Bible word, curses those that stand against the people of God. And we've seen that true when it comes to Jericho. We saw it true when it came to Ai. We saw it true. Gibeon, we saw it true. God curses anybody that stands against His people. Woe be it to the nation that stands against His people. You don't think it's important, the debates that go on Democratic and Republican stages right now? It doesn't matter who it is. Israel has everything to do with the success of this nation, because God has made a vow in His holy Bible. He will protect His people. He will protect His nation. It doesn't matter. He had protected His people. And He will stand against anybody that stands against Israel. And Israel here, they were learning, they were realizing that through the miles, even through the battles, the stress, the uncertainty of all of life, God had taken care of them. God had protected them from start to finish. Did you know that God has protected you as well? Oh, there's so many ways that you don't even realize God's goodness in His protection to you. This may sound a little bit silly to you. 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was driving home from our preacher's meeting that we had here at the church. I was driving on Burning Bush Road, and if you know anything about Burning Bush Road, there's some hills and there's some turns left and right and sort of things. that you have to make. And I came over a hill and around a curve. And just out of the corner of my eye, I saw what appeared to be a possum run straight across the road. And it was right in line with my right front tire. Me, with my cat-like reflexes that I have, I safely and immediately, quickly just swerved the car just enough to be able to miss it. Again, it may seem silly to you, but the thought actually entered my mind, that possum has no idea likely how close it came to death right here. And then again, it may sound silly, but it just seemed like the Holy Ghost of God spoke to my heart and said, and you have no idea how many times that you've come this close to the same, this close to tragedy, this close to heartbreak in your life, were it not for the providential hand of God that just reached down and protected you and you did not deserve it. Oh, the shattered hearts and the shattered lives and the gravesides that we could have stood over had God not shown His goodness to us in ways that we had never seen before. And though you could not see it, God was still there. Though you couldn't see it, know that God was still there. They were realizing the promises of God failed not. There was a realization of the protection of God, but a realization of the provision of God that had failed not. I mentioned it last week, but when they got cold, God gave them a pillar of fire, didn't He? When they got hot, God put a shield from the sun over them. When they got hungry, God rained down manna from the heavens. When they got thirsty, God beat water out of a rock. God provided every one of their needs. I was thinking about this morning. I thought I might go out here and I might just try to beat water out of a rock and see if it comes out of it. Understand, it was a miracle of God. He miraculously cared for His people. Honestly, when I look back over the past 45 years of the years that I can remember of my life, I cannot think of one time that God has not met every one of my needs of life. Not to mention, He gives me most of my wants even. Amen. Just thinking about it last night, I went to bed and I hardly couldn't sleep because I was so full, I'd eaten so much. God had given me a full belly. God had given me a roof over my head. God had given me air in my house to keep me cool, heat to keep me warm, given me a blanket, given me a family. God had just been good to me. And I was rejoicing in the goodness of God that He had shown me. How can I not say, look what God has done? They were having the realization of promises. Protection, provision, but a realization as well of permanence. It failed not. Full disclosure. This promise of God has not yet been fully realized yet for Israel. Okay? And it won't be until the Lord Jesus takes His rightful place on the throne of David. But as far as Israel was concerned, God had given them this land. They knew God had given them this land. They were home. As far as they were concerned, they were there to stay. After walking all of the miles, after fighting all of the battles, after experiencing all of the stress, the uncertainty of the days, they were realizing that God had been gracious to them. God had met every need. His promises, His provision, His protection had landed them in a place of permanence. And what they were saying here is, look what God has done. Look at the goodness of God in our lives. Have you stopped lately and just looked at what God's done in your life? You can come on, Brother Timothy, and you can play softly if you want to. A story is told of an old Navajo Indian who became very, very rich because oil was found on his land. He took all of his money and he deposited it into the local bank. The banker soon became familiar with this Navajo Indian because of his practices that he continually always did. It's like a broken record. Every once in a while, that Navajo Indian gentleman, he would walk into the bank. He would go up to the banker, and he just had a look of gloom on his face. And he said, grass all gone, sheep all dead, water holes all dried up. That banker would simply take him into the vault of the bank. And he'd pull out several bags of silver dollars. And he'd look at that Indian and he would say, oh, this is yours. For about the next hour and a half or 2 hours, that old Indian man would stand there in that bank. And Brother Daniel, while he was in that vault, he would stack up those silver dollars. He would count every one of them. After a couple hours, he would stack those bags back onto their shelf. And he would walk back out into the bank, walk back up to the bank manager. But this time he had a different look on his face. And he would say to the bank manager, grass all green, sheep all well, water holes all full. If you're anything like me, there's been a few days in your life when your face was as long as it could be. You were in the lowest, most difficult, most depressing moments of your life, and you were walking around and you were saying, the grass is all grown, the sheep are all dead, the water holes, they're all dried up. Then all of a sudden, when you get up off and out of your pity party, you start looking around. There's been days I've done that, and I've started looking around in places just like this, and I've seen the goodness of God in my life. My countenance all changes. I jump up and I start shouting the goodness of God, saying the grass is all green, the sheep are all well, the water holes are all full again. You see the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, it is amazing how our perspective of life will change when you get them spiritual things in order. You start getting some rest in your life. You start experiencing and seeing the goodness of God and enjoying God's goodness and just looking at everything God has done. I look at my life. There's nothing I can say other than, look what God has done. He allowed me to be born in a nation and among a family that got me to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm here today because of what God has done. Just look what God has done. Even on our worst day, my family has still been so happy, enjoying all of the promises and protection and provision and even the permanence of God and eternity. Just look what God has done. He's put us in a place where the ministry that He's fulfilled desires of our heart that we didn't even know we had. Serving with the greatest people. Look what God has done. That's all I can do is shout to you that today. No, Chad, I look at your life and I look around this room and I think of what God's brought you from. I think of how you ought to be dead today. Wouldn't you agree? Look what God. Look what God has done. I was thinking about you this morning. God has saved all of your kids. Two of your girls married preachers. Them grandbabies are going to get saved one day. I remember crying with you guys right here, praying for God to touch it. Look what God. Look what God has done. God put your family together. This crowd out there today that says God can't do it, you're wrong. This crowd was messed up. They were divided and they were divorced. Your babies in children's church being taught by your wife who got saved. You're a preacher. Both of these boys are preachers. Your other boys preaching in children's church this morning. Your family is together. But 15 years ago, a drug doer, and everything wrong was wrong. But look what God has done. Look what God has done. Trammell, I was thinking about you this week. I was thinking about how you had the upbringing that you did. And you're here today And old Killian told me. Killian told me. He said, when Trammell got saved, he got it. Never misses. Had heartache. Look what God has done. You ought to be in heaven today. That'd have been all right for her. Look what God has done. August 14th. Them two got born again in this back office back here. The battles are real, aren't they? Look what God has done. I could go on and on. And I'm happy to. But I think some just aren't getting it. God's been so good to us. Sing it, Lexi. The altars of God are open, and maybe you just need to find you a place down here. Just stop. Stop thinking about all your problems. Stop thinking about all your stress. Stop thinking about all your uncertainty.
This morning,
stop worrying about all the stuff that you can't fix. Stop trying to get rest here and rest there.
Loving family.
And just fall down and
say,
dear
house that
God,
we call home.
I need the rest
the promise
from you.
Of
I want to get spiritual things in order. I want to make them a priority.
Calvary.
I want to see it move in my life.
Settled in
stand
my
to your feet if you're physically
since
able.
The day
if you're physically able.